Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, thank you so much, people, for hanging on the second hour. If you know, we had a riveting show the first hour. We had Mrs. Patty Stockman, the wife of the Honorable Congressman Steve Stockman, who's a political prisoner. It sounds to me like they're trying to finish him off in prison, trying to kill him because they hate him because he's a good guy. But right now we're transitioning, and we're going to spend one segment with one of my heroes, one of the few men on earth that I really truly respect from the bottom of my heart, and he is Mr. Marine Jeans, Marine Officer himself, Gene. Gene, how are you doing today, Gene Andrews?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing
enjoying this beautiful weather, getting out, keeping working. I had missed a day working down at the forest home, and all these people want to sit inside and feel sorry for themselves. I get outside and work every day. So,
well, why I'm not surprised. I'll tell you why, because I know you. You're a hell for a leather Marine, the old school Marine before they turned into politically correct stuff. Gene, we have one.
They've gone down the same road as so many other groups have this day, and just sucked up to the communist atheists and the Antifa or Antifa, whatever you want to call them. And that's been a real disappointment to me, the way the Marine Corps has caved into that. I thought they would be the last holdout in a rotten country, but it seems like they've gone into the garbage heap as well.
Well, you know, the Rangers went the same way now. Yeah, they had to do all kind of crap. Well, you know, Gene, we only had one segment. We got to bring Miss Monica Schaefer on in a few minutes. But I'm going to get you on again later to talk about other stuff. But if you will, Gene, read that letter to the people that you wrote to the Marine Commandant himself. You're talking about
Yes.
Balls.
Result of his anti-South tirade on about the Confederate symbols and how they were being banned from the Marine Corps, and it was addressed to Commandant David Berger, Headquarters Marine Corps, Elliott Road, Quantico, Virginia, and said, "Dear Commandant Berger, after reading your insulting comments to Southerners concerning our honored Confederate symbols, it is disgusting to see that a highly motivated military unit like the once great USMC has stooped to the pathetic level of just one more cowardly federal bureaucratic agency." And went on to say, "You, sir, are an insult to Southern Marines with Confederate ancestors such as Commandant John A. Lejeune and Lieutenant General Lewis Chesty Puller. While I never have held the rank of these Marine heroes, I'm still insulted and offended that Marine Corps policy targets Southern Marines for discrimination and slanders my Confederate ancestors with lies about our history and traditions. I served as an officer with the 3rd Marine Division, FMF Westpac, which is Fleet Marine Force Western Pacific, in Quang Tri Province, Vietnam, in 1969. And if the woke Marine Corps of 2020 no longer respects Southerners, then I no longer respect the Corps." And then the last paragraph, it said, "In closing, I would offer a statement from one of my classmates at TBS, the basic school, and all Marine officers have to go through 6 months of basic school training, which is basically infantry tactics, weapons, mortars, how to call in artillery fire, how to use explosives, night helicopter operations, that sort of thing. And then after you go through that, if you go to another school like artillery, engineers, motor transport, or whatever, you're sent there. So one of my classmates at TBS, an officer basic school class of 369, James Webb, was a graduate of the Naval Academy, Secretary of the Navy under President Reagan, and served as senator from Virginia and a defender of our Southern Cross. And he said, former Lieutenant Webb said, "To tar the sacrifices of the Confederate soldier as simple acts of racism and reduce the battle flag under which he fought to nothing more than a symbol of racist heritage is one of the great blasphemies of our modern age." And there's somebody that's been high up in our government that said that about our Confederate history and very much defended our Confederate history. So, Eddie, it's really sad to see how many people in our government and all of the institutions today have just taken their marching orders. And the pathetic thing about this commandant is he couldn't even come up with his own statement. He pretty much read what the Southern Pervert Law Center puts out and just parroted what they say. And that's the really sickening thing about it. The guy couldn't even come up with his own statement. And the same thing for the Southern Baptist. That's why I no longer go to the Baptist church. The Southern Baptist Convention several years ago came out with their tirade against the Confederate flag. And once again, it was almost verbatim from what the Southern Pervert Law Center down there in Montgomery puts out. And, you know, it's really disgusting that they can't even have the intelligence to write their own statement. They have to plagiarize or take what somebody else gives them and go with that. And that's pretty much what the news media does as well. So, Eddie, I don't know where we're going. I really don't. This country is going downhill so fast. It just it doesn't look like there's any hope for it.
And people, you're listening to a man who's a real Marine. He's not one of these pink Marines or pink Army Rangers. This man here, he was in the Olympics, if I'm not mistaken, years ago, an Olympic athlete. He taught high school history.
I didn't
history.
That part. No.
Oh, you didn't?
Who knew?
Okay.
Went to the SEC finals track, but no, I didn't make the Olympic squad. I was about 2 or 3 seconds away from that out of my event. So thank you for the compliment, though.
Well, the Olympics couldn't qualify in the SEC, man. The SEC's top of the line. But you know, this man here taught high school history. I know him. I know several people. A lot of people that hold Mr. Gene Andrews up a very high pedestal. I do too. Gene, I tell you what.
Let me back up and say one thing, though. My coach at the University of Georgia was in the Olympics. Forrest.
Oh, that's for okay. That's where I got that.
And this was another. This was one of my early eye openers to the lies and the prostitutes and the fake news media. Before we would start our outdoor season, we usually had a cookout over at Coach Towns and Mrs. Towns' house with the track team, and then the next weekend we usually started off at the Florida Relays down at Gainesville. But he was telling us, he said, you know, you've heard all your life this story about how Hitler wouldn't shake Jesse Owens' hand because he wasn't of the master race. And he said, that's a lie. He said, Hitler was given a speech to read, whether you're Chancellor of Germany, President of the United States, King of England, about we welcome the athletes of the world, we now declare the games of the 12th Olympiad open. That's it. And then back then, they didn't have all this opening ceremony of dancing around and, you know, I'm a tree and I'm the wind and all this nonsense. And just went right into the competition. Well, the first athlete to win a medal was the German. And that's the first time a German had won a medal since 1896, when they started the modern Olympic Games. So Hitler was very excited, and they wanted to put on a good show because Hitler had actually brought Germany out of the Depression. So he went down to the medal presentation and congratulated this German athlete, but he also congratulated the silver medalist and the bronze medalist. And then the Olympic Committee called him in the next morning and said, you can't do that. As head of the country, all you can do is read that opening statement. And they said, now, if you want to take the German athletes over in somewhere else in Berlin and party all night long, you can do that, but you can't do it at the medal presentation. Hitler actually apologized to the Olympic Committee, and we will pick it up after the break.
Well, Gene, I guess we'll have to let you go now. We've got to bring Monica Schaefer on. I kind of think I overscheduled, but we will bring you on again very soon if you'll please come on, and we'll cover some other topics, Gene, if you don't mind.
We can definitely do that, and I would not take a second from her time. She's brilliant.
Thank you. We'll be right back, people. Thank you so much, Gene.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start meaning it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Maybe you can explain something to me, like why I wasn't told that Daddy was going to pull $10 million out of Ewing Oil accounts. Did that slip your mind?
You just hold on, Bobby. J.R., don't discuss my business with you or anybody else unless I tell him. You understand?
Okay, Daddy. Then why didn't you tell me? Didn't you think I should know?
I was going to tell you tonight.
Tonight? I want those kind of things discussed with me before you act, not after. Your dealing behind my back is making me look like a fool.
Now, just what the hell are you talking about?
I called Les at the bank and asked him to transfer $12 million from the account.
So what? We got 100 times that much.
I'm talking liquid assets. Cash, Daddy, cash. And we don't have that amount. And you know why? Because you took $10 million.
You damn right I took it. It's mine.
That money belongs to Ewing Oil.
And who in the hell do you think Ewing Oil is? It's me. Ewing Oil belongs to me, and don't you forget it, boy.
And you gave me Ewing Oil to run in writing. And that makes you obliged to consult me before you do anything that concerns that company.
Obliged? You telling me that I'm obliged to ask you how to spend my own money any damn way I see fit?
That's right. You gave me the power to run that company, and damn it, I intend to run it.
So I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gave you power. Real power is something you take.
Well, I'm going to remember that.
You do that.
And people, that is so true. A dear supporter of ours sent me that clip last week because I used that clip. I used that quote, and it's true. We were talking about, I think, to the great General Nick, and I said, you know what? We don't get freedom. We don't get liberty. No one gives us going to give us liberty or freedom without struggle, without bloodshed, without fighting. Real freedom, like real power, you have to take. No one is going to give you power. No one is going to give you liberty or freedom. That is so true. And I bet you that Miss Monica Schaefer, who I've nicknamed, we scrapped her name, Monica Schaefer. We call her now Braveheart. How are you doing tonight, Braveheart?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much, Eddie. I love your last word there. Like, we need to take the power. And right now what we are seeing is people are just willingly giving up all their power, individual power and liberty, and en masse, you know, this whole lockdown, shutdown, everybody's just going along with it. But anyway, we can talk about that some more. But yeah, I would love to respond a little bit to your first two guests. I was tuned in most of the time. I had to step out a little bit, but I would love to react to that and then, you know, carry on with what we were going to talk about, giving a little introduction to a show coming up.
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, we had Lieutenant Gene Andrews, a very dear friend of mine, a very dear brother. I rode to Charlottesville, Virginia with him. We were at the Battle of Charlottesville together. Gene Andrews, the real hell for leather Marine. He's a real hell for leather American. He's a living embodiment of a Southern gentleman, a Robert E. Lee. That's who you are referring to. And he goes along with us. He agrees that liberty is never, ever just given to anyone, is taken. And you also refer to the wonderful Miss Patty Stockman, Monica. She was the wife of the Steve Stockman. I'm glad you listened to them. We had two dynamite guests on, and now no one, you're as good a guest as anybody can want. You're as good a co-host as anybody can want. So, yes, we'll start where you want to start, where you want to. I'm really anxious to talk about that series that I'm not going to be involved in it much, that you and Miss Voss are going to be going, Miss Bertha Voss. Well, go ahead and start where you want to, Miss Monica.
Yeah, just briefly to respond to your previous two guests or you know, my thoughts. First of all, I really appreciated, I think you said the name was Gene Andrews, his take on Jesse Owens, that very lied about story, because it was really quite the opposite as what the mainstream media told us, that Hitler snubbed him. It was quite the opposite, and Jesse Owens talked about that himself. I'm not sure if that was memoirs that he wrote or whether it was just a, you know, a statement that he made, but Hitler did not snub him at all. And, of course, Hitler is the most lied about man on the face of this earth as well. So that's a whole another story. So I really appreciated that. And for your first guest, oh my goodness, I could really relate to many things she was talking about. That's her husband, who is a political prisoner and now not being allowed any visitors. And the same thing with my brother, who is a political prisoner in Germany, you know, because of things he has said that the globalist elite do not like. And he has been in prison now for getting on towards 2 years and is supposed to be serving a 4-year sentence for disputing the World War II history we've been fed all our lives. You know, that if you question that, you are in big trouble with that tribe that you're not supposed to name and criticize, lest we be called anti-Semitic. So, yeah, they're not allowed visitors, and so what the conditions are behind closed doors, it's hard to say. I just loved her interview. The one thing that I would like to encourage her to know or to look into is that this, we do not need to fear this boogeyman virus. That is another big lie. It's not COVID-19 virus that we need to be afraid of. That is just an excuse for rolling out their lockdown of the world and creating chaos out of which they want to create order out of chaos, you know, New World Order style. And so she need not fear that her husband might be, getting infected with COVID. Now, she mentioned deaths in the prison. One thing that, whistleblowers have said this and all kinds of people have reported on this, that deaths from anything is now being reported as COVID death. They are misrepresenting what people are dying of to skew the numbers, the stats, the numbers. They are being manipulated and greatly exaggerated and just outright lied about in order to put the fear into people about this virus, in order to get everybody into this voluntary, you know, putting themselves in jail in their own homes. And so that's just one thing I wanted to mention. But I really, really enjoyed her interview with you. And it can so relate to so many things, you know, the political prisoner aspect of this. And so I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to her and to her husband and wish them all the best. And I do hope that her husband is given clemency or let out of jail. I also hope the same thing for my brother. If they're talking about letting prisoners out because they don't want them in close quarters, well, that might be a good thing, although we hope that, you know, they're not going to be letting just the violent ones out and keeping the political prisoners behind bars. Because in Germany, let me tell you, Alfred is called worst case, and yet he's a peaceful man and has only been imprisoned because of his words. But he is called worst case in the mainstream media. Well, yeah, so
I'm not surprised at all. I'm certainly not. I guess they consider they worry more about, more afraid of an idea than they are actually are guns and armies. You know, I think it was Joseph Stalin that said he had rather have. He said that one newspaper was more dangerous to him than, like, you know, 30 divisions, because it's the, you know, an idea is unstoppable, and the truth, they say, is unstoppable. But I'll tell you what, Monica, I kind of sometimes wonder the way things are going now. Miss Monica, we have got to go to a quick break. Hang on to your seat. We'll be right back, people.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
During this time of social distancing, President Donald Trump had a special message for the nation.
At this holy time, our nation is engaged in a battle like never before, the invisible enemy. Our brave doctors, nurses, and responders, first responders, are fighting to save lives. Our workers are racing to deliver critical medical supplies. Our best scientists are working around the clock to develop life-saving therapeutics, and I think they're doing really well in doing so. Though we will not be able to gather together with one another as we normally would on Easter, we can use this sacred time to focus on prayer, reflection, and growing in our personal relationship with God, so important.
As the nation continues social distancing, many churches are holding their Easter services online. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A federal judge blocked parts of the Texas temporary abortion ban, allowing some procedures to resume despite a prior appeals court decision to uphold the ban amid the coronavirus pandemic. For more than 2 weeks, the vast majority of abortion services in Texas have been unavailable, marking the first time the procedure has not been legally accessible in any U.S. state for nearly 50 years. Beginning immediately, clinics in Texas can offer medication abortion, a pregnancy termination method administered by pill and available to patients up to 10 weeks into their pregnancy. The Department of Justice announced it's investigating a veterans home in Massachusetts where over two dozen residents have died after testing positive for coronavirus. The Civil Rights Division and the U.S. Attorney's Office will conduct a joint review into how the residents were deprived of their rights to medical care. 32 veteran residents have died, 28 of whom tested positive for the coronavirus. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear people, we're right back with the great, the one and only Monica Schaefer. But we have got rid of that name, Monica Schaefer. We're now using Braveheart because she is about the bravest lady that I know of. She comes on. She's been in the prison for wrong think in Germany for having ideas that are contrary to the globalists, to the criminals in control in Germany. But before we go back to Monica, I want to read parts of a letter that a very dear friend, a very dear supporter sent me, Mr. Buddy from Arkansas. Y'all, I've talked a lot about Mr. Buddy, but he's up there with Gene Andrews. He's one of the few men left in this country. When he goes, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. But he sent me this letter. I got this letter dated, I think, 7th of April. It says, Dear Eddie, and this has a direct link to what Miss Monica was talking about. Dear Eddie, as the country continues to morph into some sort of prison and or insane asylum, a little item was mentioned briefly by the deep state recently that should scare the heck out of any perceptive observer. I'm sure hardly anyone caught it because they did not dwell on it. The item that was brought up was the need for the government. Get this, people. Get this. The item that was brought up was the need for the government to start prepping for the next nationwide crisis. As we are now virtually locked down as in prison, I shudder to think what is going on in the minds of the nuts that are in the control of this country. Total control of the population will be very easy to accomplish because most people in the last 50 years have been brainwashed in accepting subservient relationship with the government instead of functioning as a free, responsible citizens. Also, something I'm very proud of, at the end he says, P.S., Eddie, your Blood River Radio is the best thing going. No holds barred, telling it like it is. And that's exactly what we're going to do, because if we ease off the pedal one bit, we will disappoint. We will let down the likes, the men who I can't carry Mr. Buddy's dirty socks or Gene Andrews. With that, Miss Monica, the next great crisis. Now, I'm going to ask you, Miss Monica, before we go back to the series, if you and Berta are going to start. What is the next great crisis, pro tell, and how in the hell do they know? How do these people know in the advance we're going to have another crisis? Back to you, Miss Mike.
Oh, yeah, how the hell do they know, you say? I'm sorry, excuse my language, but how they know, yes, they do plan these things, don't they, Eddie? And, you know, with this current corona stuff, just look up event 201, which took place in October of 2019, and you will see this was a planning exercise for exactly what is going on right now. Yeah, these are, you know, whether you call them false flag events, it's all planned. Everything that, you know, whether there's a 9/11 or, you know, the Charlie Hebdo thing, just all of these things are planned and done with an agenda in mind, and this is no exception with the coronavirus thing, which is not the problem. It is what they are doing with it. So anyway, it's really, really good that you're inviting Berth Voss and myself and to do this Holocaust show, or shall we say the Hollow Cost. I spell that two words, HOLLOWCOST, Holocaust, or another one is the Holy Cause event. The Holy Cause, because it is their religion, this certain unmentionable tribe, that is their religion, and it is a fable. And we would like to speak about that. I think that's next week. We're going to spend some time talking about how exactly, you know, how have they done this? How have they pulled the wool over our eyes? How is it that we've been led along? And what are some of the physical, you know, evidence or non-evidence for their side of the story and yet evidence for, you know, the truth of the matter? There were never any gas chambers in these camps in Germany. Yes, there were concentration camps, and yes, people died, but they died of other causes like starvation and disease. And much of that was in the final months of the war from the supply lines being cut by the Allied bombing. So you could actually say that the deaths were caused by the Allies. That's a turn, isn't it? But, you know, I just want to tie into the ads that you have in between our interview sessions here. And usually I absolutely just love those ads. But today there were a couple of ads that were assuming the official story narrative. One was an ad in which these Nazi death camps was brought up. And I just thought, oh, there's one that should be flagged and turfed. I'm not sure who makes the decisions about the ads. And the other one, I think, was assuming that it's the coronavirus we should be afraid of. And so, yeah, should, you know, it's a station that, and the ads are generally super good in terms of...
Monica, are you talking about the news at the bottom of the hour?
Well, it's on this radio show, the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour, the ads, they're normally so good. They're normally really great. They're all aware of, you know, the white genocide agenda and this kind of thing. But there were a couple of ads today that really should be turfed.
Monica, so Sam says, me and Sam talk all the time, you know, when you can't hear us. It comes, yes, it does. It comes from mainstream press and a lot of the stuff that Sam can't control. But he does it the same reason my wife watches this mainstream stuff, is to keep a track to monitor what the hell they're saying. But continue on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I tune into the mainstream once in a while, too, just to see what they are telling the masses. And actually, it just gets worse and worse. You know, I turn it on and I just about have to gag as I'm getting more and more aware of what is really going on. But I think that the ads on this station, are they not chosen by, like, this is a station, like, this Blood River Radio is your show. And anyway, normally most of the ads are just fantastic. I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that today there were a couple of ads on this show that were just kind of assuming that the official story
Patty,
on matters was correct.
Excuse me. I mean, Monica, the answer is no. Sam says we play the ads, some of the ads to get, because they're paid, to get money to keep us on the air.
Yes. Okay, you know, that's no problem. We can just use them as a subject to talk about, because, you know, as far as the quote-unquote Nazi death camps, it's great, because next week we're going to be putting that lie to rest, you see?
So yes, let me chime in here. Patty, Monica, I'm so damn excited. Like, people hear me say it all the time about the wee-wee in my pants. This is, people, we're getting ready to do something I've been wanting to do since even before we started Blood River Radio. If you look at our website, it says that we're here to fight global white genocide. That's our only concern. But there's a lot of things play into global white genocide. One of the things that plays into them is these lies that Miss Patty's, Miss Monica's just talking about. We just had Miss Patty on. I'm old. But Miss Monica's talking about, we have this lie of the Holocaust. Well, there are lies also that we wanted to expose that are sacrosanct. The lies told about the German people, about how World War I started, how World War II started. Lies told about the Nazis. Lies told about the German army. Lies told about the terror bombing. Lies told about everything. But a lie that's patented and trademark, it's a God that will have no other gods before it, is the God of the Holocaust. And it's been patented, it's been trademarked, and it's worth trillions of dollars. You know, even countries like Switzerland, Germany, England, almost every country in the Western world has paid tribute because of these these poor Jews were, you know, no other country in the world, no other people in the world have been persecuted except the poor Jews, and they never did anything to deserve all this stuff. And but we're going to do a series, and we're going to take as much time as it takes, and we're going to cover this. And Miss Monica and Berta have been studying, and they're going to come up with hard, cold facts. Hard, cold facts, and we're going to kill this. We're going to kill this sacred god, this pagan god. We're going to destroy him, just like, you know, just like what's his name? The guy of the Bible who built the fire. Was it? Anyway, there's been gods destroyed, pagan gods destroyed before. Before we go back to Monica, I'm going to read this one more thing. So this is one little clip that a buddy sent me, and he's talking about the people that control, run everything. Get this quote right here. I'm going to go right back to Miss Monica. Every time we do something, you tell me America will do this and will do that. I want to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, October 3, 2001, to Simon Perez, as reported in this Yishak radio. And people will be right back. I'm sorry I cut Miss Monica off. We'll be right back.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
People, oh, you're right back. We're getting We're getting ready to go back to Monica, but I'm going to tell you about a little conversation that Sam and I had next week. Not this week, because we don't want to intervene with the what we're doing tonight with Miss Monica. Sam is a very nice guy. He didn't want to do that. He's real considerate. Next week, Sam's going to come on our show, Blood River. He's going to explain the whole shooting match of how we get our news, why we get our news, why certain sound bites come on, et cetera, et cetera. What he told, he wanted me to do it, but there's no way in hell I could remember everything he told me to do, because Sam is, I'm not kissing his behind, but he's kind of a genius at what he does. But anyway, so if you want to know why we have commercials, why we have certain news bleeps and stuff like that, tune in next week. We're going to do that. It'll take Sam probably about 2-3 minutes to do it. But anyway, Monica, let's go right back to what you're talking about. We're talking about our series we're going to start. Tell the people, and you sent me an outline. I was telling Sam, I said, I just mentioned this Holocaust thing. And hell, within 90 minutes, you got back with this outline. It came out of a, maybe it was Gene I was talking about. It looked like it came out of a college textbook. So anyway, go ahead, Monica. It did. If you have that outline, kind of go over that outline that you have, the stuff that we're going, that you and Berta are going to talk about.
Okay, yeah, we whipped that up in our little conversation that we had. First of all, briefly, we'll talk about how we each came to our conclusions, our awakening stories. And I'm always very interested in how people woke up to the fact that we're being deceived. Okay, so that's a starter. Then we're going to talk about the numbers. You know, for example, the numbers of Jewish population before and after the war, the World War II, in the world and in Europe. And then we'll talk about the Magic Six and all its permutations before the war, how many times the 6 million was mentioned. And then this Magic Six and the 666, you know, that is a Satan symbol, really. And we'll talk about the changing numbers, victims at Auschwitz, for example. You know, you can do simple math and go 6 minus 3, and it still equals 6. And we can talk about actual numbers that are recorded by the Red Cross, who were present in all the camps. Okay, then we'll talk about the camps during and after the war, and what was the story during and after the war. There's lots to say about that. You know, when did this Holocaust narrative actually get established? And why the difference between West Germany and East Germany? Now it's all reunited, but there was a big difference in the narrative of these camps between the West and the East. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the war memoirs of three big men, Churchill, Eisenhower, and de Gaulle, and just to talk about what, you know, what did they mention about all of this. Then we'll talk a little bit about physical evidence, or non-evidence, as it were. And there's lots to talk about there. Like, that this is where we're getting into hardcore evidence. We're not talking about eyewitness reports, because really the Holocaust historians, everything they talk about is based on eyewitnesses. And any judge, lawyer, whatever, will tell you that eyewitness reports are always the least credible of anything, right?
Absolutely.
What's taught in schools then and now, and what the younger generation, Birte will talk about that, you know, because she's a little bit younger than we are, and just see what some of the conflicting views are amongst the younger generation who are fed up with all this. And then we'll talk about courts. And that could go right back to the Nuremberg trials, and it can go right up to the present, because, you know, I experienced a trial in Germany with my brother, was incarcerated. My brother is still incarcerated, all because they don't like the fact that we are shining light on this fairy tale fantasy story of theirs. We are doing it just with words. Just with words, you see. So we are not these violent criminals who have, you know, raped or stolen or defrauded anybody or anything like that. No, we have spoken words in videos or in radio programs like this kind of thing. You know, I made a video called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. 6 minutes, just under 6 minutes long. That created quite the firestorm in my life. That was in 2016. And then in 2018, I spent 10 months in jail in Germany because of that. So go figure. You know, they say that truth does not fear investigation. Only lies need to be protected by laws. Like, what other, why do they enshrine a piece of history in law, like in their legislation? Why do they have to enshrine it in law? Why do they have to make history the subject of the courts? No, this is for historians to talk about. Now, I do want to also talk about the relevance of this, and especially the relevance of this story to your main theme of this show, and that is about white genocide, like what they are trying to do to us, and that we wake up to what is going on with that. Now, it is extremely relevant because, see, the guilt that, first of all, the Germans have been inculcated with, but this extends to all white people now. It's all white people are guilty of, whether it's the Holocaust or the slavery or, you know, colonialism or this or that, but it's always painted in a very distorted way, all these events. I mean, the slavery, for example, that was a Jewish industry. And, you know, everything that we are told in the mainstream media about basically everything of importance, they distort, they lie outright about it, and the agenda is to make us feel guilty for everything that we are guilty of everything that's ever gone wrong in the world, and at the same time to raise up the other, you know, black people, to promote them. Israel Cohen, a quote from, I think it was 1912 or 13, and he was a communist, American communist, who basically said, you know, we will promote and raise up the blacks and also put in them this idea that they have been persecuted for hundreds of years and raise them up at the same time in all the professions and the sports and the entertainment, and at the same time put the guilt into all the white people. And then when we raise up the blacks, we make the interracial marriage be acceptable, and this will bring them into our program. You see, so the communist program, which is kind of, if we don't stop this, what's going on right now with this phony corona virus thing, and I mean, why are we willingly going along with this? This is what's quite discouraging to me, that people are just willingly going along with it, and it's this big culture of fear that people are going along with this, and then they're rolling out their program, their communist program. So really, we need to wake up about that, and we need to understand that we've been lied to about pretty much everything. You know, they sprinkle little bits of truth in between all the lies, the major lies, just to confuse us more. But, fear is their currency of control, Eddie. Fear is the currency of control. And that is how they're doing it. So, you know, they must be laughing gleefully at how easy it was to push whole populations around. But boy, oh boy, we better wake up and rise up and resist and just not go along with their agenda. You see,
Monica, we're getting close to the end of the hour. People, I just want you to know, Monica Schaefer, the reason these two people are ultimately intimately qualified to do this show, to this series, and we're going to do this series, and we're also going to cover the evidence the Red Cross found when they went over to Germany during the height of this. We're going to talk about the transfer agreement. That's going to take me about 400 pages there to read. We're going to talk about Henry Ford. We're going to talk about what the horrible travesty of the so-called Nuremberg trials. But Monica Schaefer, she is of German descent, German-Canadian descent. Miss Bertha Faust still living in Germany. They have relatives that have been in Germany since the cows came home, since Ada was a baby. They're intimately qualified. This is going to be an intellectual college-type course that we're going to present to you, and it's going to be done very well. There's an old adage that Dr. Stanley Montef used to say. He said, the figures don't lie that the news media comes up with, but the trouble is, liar's figure. Well, people, we're going to come up with the real figures, the real facts. And I couldn't want a better team to present this show, this series. It might even take a couple of weeks. I don't know. We're just going to follow it till the to the very end. Miss Monica, we're just about out of time. Would you like to take us out? We've got a few seconds left.
Yeah, just again about this fear. Shed your fear, please, folks. Shed your fear, because that is their currency of control over us. And, you know, learning the truth, sometimes it can seem very dark and dangerous, but the truth will set you free. And shed your fear.
That's right. Knowledge of the truth will set you free. God bless you, right. Monica Braveheart. We gotta lose that name, Monica. We call you Braveheart. Anyway, thank you people so much for hanging in tonight. And thank you, Sam. Sam, I tell you what, I'm always in a like a buzz or a fog when we come in here. Somehow it always winds out together. It always turns out good. But thank you, Sam. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, beloved audience. I love y'all so much, and that's why we do this. God bless you. Have a happy Easter. He has risen. Good night, people.